नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 2, The Lord in the Heart, Text 37. Pibanti ye Bhagavata Atmana Satam Katamritam Shravana Puteshu Samvritam Punanti Te Vishaya Vidushitashayam Vrajanti Tach Chadana Sarorhantikam Shri Shri Nitya Maya Chandra King. Pibanti ye Bhagavata Atmana Satam.
Pibanti ye Bhagavata Atmana Satam.
Katamritam Shravana Puteshu Samvritam. Punanti ye Vishaya Vidushita Shayam. Vrajanti Tach Chalana Saroru Hantikam. Pibanti ye Bhagavata Atmana Satam. Katamritam Shravana Puteshu Samvritam. Punanti te Vishaya Vidushita Shayam. Vrajanti tach charana saroru hantikam. Pibsatam. Katamritam shravana puteshu sambritam. Punanti te vishaya vidushatashayam. Vrajanti tach charana saroru hantikam. Those who drink through oral reception, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, purify the polluted aim of life, known as material enjoyment, and thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of Him, the personality of Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthana Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pastutyadeshatarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vajkapaturibhyasta kripa sindhubhya evacha. Paridhanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Well, this is just the natural conclusion or sort of extension of what we were reading about yesterday, which had flowed from a preliminary discussion over some number of verses about just how glorious is the Lord, how wonderful is the Lord, incomparably so, to the point that if you simply hear about him, oh, the benefit is, well, this is the benefit actually, most specifically stated right here. Yes. Of course, in the verse yesterday, the three of the nine main processes of devotional service were specified: hearing, chanting, and then serving the lotus feet. Oh no, remembering. Shrutavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan nrinam. Yes. So the previous verses had explained how wonderful the Lord is in so many ways, just uniquely, completely incomparably. It's one thing to be unique, but it's another thing to just be in another category altogether, and you cannot really make any meaningful comparison, in depth at least. So, yes. So Krishna, that was brought out over the previous verses, the unique nature of the Lord. And because of his unique nature, therefore the uniqueness even of his name, even his name is so unique. And what to speak of his personal qualities, and what to speak of his personal activities in which he displays those qualities. Well, this is very super high level. It is the highest level. And so that the last verse, the previous verse then, was just saying that therefore, because he's just so specially special, therefore you should hear about him and chant and remember. Or in the context of Prabhupada's explanation, you should hear about him and then you'll be able to chant, which involves also hearing. And then you'll be able to remember. And then when your mind, your consciousness, is just saturated through and through with the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then, Pada Sevanam, then you'll be inspired. I must serve him. The natural consequence. So there's actually the idea of a sequence, at least to some degree there, that naturally you'll serve him. You'll feel that, not just like, well, I have no choice, but you'll just feel that you can't stop yourself. You can't stop yourself. Just like we read, actually, of course there's so many examples, but one very interesting and kind of amusing in a sense, but actually very nice example, is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Lord Chaitanya organized the first massive Harinam Sankirtan to the house of the Chand Kazi, because the Chand Kazi had personally intervened very heavily and in a very gross way with the efforts of the devotees to begin some Harinam. He personally came and himself took the mridanga off the shoulders of one devotee and smashed it. And then in a very, you know, just arrogant way, told the devotees, you just don't do this again. If you do, oh, then there'll be real trouble. So then Lord Chaitanya organized that great mega Harinam Sankirtan with thousands and eventually even millions of people, of devotees, to the house of the Chankazi. Yes, and the Chankazi, when he understood, he heard, you know, this tumultuous sound, you know, slowly approaching. He sent some spies out, Muslims, and, you know, very traditional Muslims, they, the way they just present themselves, they make it obvious that they're Muslims. You know, one of the very prominent things, and these people did it, they had beards, but no moustaches. This means Muslim. At least in India. Or not just India, in sort of the Muslim sphere. So you can't really mistake such a person. And, you know, they also have like certain type of headgear and things. So the Chankazi sent out a group of these, couple of these people, Muslim assistants, to spy on the Harinam, see what is going on out there. So they disguised themselves, they just pulled cloths right over their heads and, you know, practically so only their eyes were visible, and they went out. And there they were observing, oh, look at this and look at that and see what's happening. And suddenly they found they were chanting. Yes. And for a staunch Muslim, oh, this is about as bad as it can get. So they found out chanting. What happened? But they couldn't stop themselves. So then they went back to the Chankazi and reported. And they're trying to be very serious because he's sort of like the governor or almost like the king. Yes, sir. There they were. And they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And the other one, stop it, stop. And the other the fellow, what happened? But they were infected. Yes. Krishna consciousness is contagious. And just like, well, we've all had experience of associating with someone who's got some contagious condition, you know, at least a flu or a cold or something. And then you don't want it. You don't want it at all. But you find you get it. And then you're stuck. So that's what happened to these two or however many Muslim spies. They couldn't stop themselves. So the second one, he cooled down the first one who was really getting excited in chanting. And he told the Chankazi, okay, you know, don't mind him. But what was happening was, they were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And then he went off completely. So Krishna consciousness is contagious like that. And even Prabhupada made the point that because, you know, even at that stage, and that was in the sort of, must have been mid-70s, when book distribution was really at a peak, Prabhupada, somehow the point came up that in some places the police or the government tried to stop the devotees and stop the Krishna consciousness movement. But Prabhupada, even then, they were talking about 40 years ago, more than 40 years ago, Prabhupada said already at that point that it's too late. Because the books have gone out and you can't stop the effect. I mean, it may not manifest for some time, but you can't stop it. And what did he say? The brainwash books are already out there. People were, I mean, not so many, but just some fanatical Christians, really. They're trying to make like Krishna consciousness. Chanting Hare Krishna is like brainwashing. You end up, you know, kind of zombified, like what may have happened or they say happened during the Korean War with some North Americans who got captured. And they really worked them over, and apparently they came out sort of like that. So these Christians were trying to say that the same thing happens to the devotees. But Prabhupada made the point. Prabhupada just laughed. And Prabhupada said a couple of things. He said that, yes, your brain is so dirty, it must be washed. And then he said that, but they have no brain to wash. We're trying to give them a brain. And things like this, because he knew this is just like a pathetic craziness. It's not even practically worth laughing at. So, but yes, this is the thing. That if you hear nicely, we read yesterday, what was it? What were the terms? Sufficiently and properly. Now you could ask which is more important, sufficiently or properly. Both had to be there. Yeah? It's like, should I chant 16 rounds and just sort of get them done? Or should I just chant a little bit and just make sure I really do it nicely and just first class. But Prabhupada wanted us to do both, very much so, both quantity and quality, and both quantity and quality, and not just one or the other. Yes, so then that natural sequence happens. You hear, and you can't stop yourself chanting. It just comes pouring out. And then, as all that's going on, a natural inclination, tendency, just sort of erupts within the heart to remember. And when you're hearing and chanting, which involves hearing as well, and you're remembering, then this spontaneous, natural, and unstoppable desire to serve, or to serve, just starts coming out, and so on and so forth. And then worship, offer prayers. Yeah, so like this. And so here then, in this verse, is also very... just all verses in the Bhagavad Gita are really wonderful, but this is definitely really wonderful. What is the ultimate result? The ultimate result, when you go through the earlier stages nicely, you've got to take things step by step. We don't want to jump artificially to some sort of higher platform which is not natural to us. But if we go through the process step by step very nicely with proper application, sufficiently, properly, then the experience comes that first activity, now you're doing all the activities and just, you know, deeply absorbed. But then it becomes like a different experience. drinking through oral reception. Prabhupada in the purport refers to Bhagavad Gita. It's interesting. Even though Prabhupada refers to Srila Jiva Goswami, Prabhupada, commenting on this verse, Jiva Goswami says that the term Katamritam, which you can see there, second line, is it? Katamritam, is referring to Srimad Bhagavatam. Of course, it can refer to other literatures too, but it's specifically, he's pointing to Srimad Bhagavatam. But then Prabhupada also mentions Bhagavad Gita. Constant hearing of the messages of Bhagavad Gita and later of Srimad Bhagavatam. So we note in Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter that Lord Krishna speaks what we call the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo, etc. Those four verses. And then following that, Arjuna, not exactly for the first time, but for the first time in a really substantial way, he sort of exalts that this is just wonderful. He already did it a bit in the beginning of the second chapter. Now I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Now I'm your disciple. And the, in that, what is it, 2.7 or 2.9? 2-something, 2.7 maybe. But, don't tell me to fight. All right. I'm your disciple and a soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me, tell me to do, but don't tell me to fight. So it's the first time he really sort of seems to be putting his heart into it. But then he continues refusing to fight. But then after the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, he actually really just sort of presents himself before the Lord. Here I am. Just engage me in any way. And it's interesting that he then asks Lord Krishna, please tell me more about your glories, because my ears, you know, the experience I've been having, it's sort of, it's been building up. My ears have become like tongues. And now I want to drink this in that sense. So please tell me more. And then Lord Krishna speaks the other verses in the 10th chapter, which, how I am this and I am that, and all these wonderful and astonishing and beautiful manifestations of himself are there. So here, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, those who drink through oral reception, fully filled, that's pretty much filled, fully filled with the nectarian message of Lord Krishna, the beloved of the devotees, they purify the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment and ultimately thus go back to Godhead, to the lotus feet of him, back to Goloka Vrindavan. So it's just really nice. Those who drink through oral reception and just fully filled with the nectar. This does not, devotees, refer to those who sit in Srimad Bhagavatam class and they're sort of half here and half somewhere else in their minds, you know, and occasionally looking at their watches, how much longer. You know, someone who's like that, You remember the very last two sentences we read in the purport. They're not that bad. Because this is referring to someone who has been practicing, and it's like they've just come to the point, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. And the sort of person who, after some time, is visibly not making progress, because progress is visible. At least if one understands the science sufficiently, it's not difficult if you at least observe a devotee a little bit and see what's going on in the life of the devotee. It's not difficult to see, at least in simple terms, has the devotee made some progress, or are they still kind of in a really mixed up state? It's not difficult. And, it may reach a point where they actually become pseudo, not just struggling devotees, but more or less like failed devotees, pseudo devotees. Because they may try and present themselves, I am a devotee, look at me. But really, they have failed due to offense. Prabhupada says here in the purport that by the process of bhakti yoga, directly accepted, not indirectly, some other way, through the back door or something, but directly accepted as suggested in this verse, directly accepted by sufficient hearing, then the material contamination is directly eliminated without one's, Prabhupada says, without one's attempting to contemplate the impersonal Virat conception of the Lord or the universal form, which in fact was discussed in the previous chapter as a type of a first step for some. For some impersonalists, very sort of heavily conditioned materialists. Yes, you don't need to really do anything other than hear sufficiently and properly. Yeah. In order for the material contamination which you have, which we all have, for it to be directly eliminated. So this is very nice. Yes, so the first thing though, in terms of the process of purification, is that the polluted aim of life known as material enjoyment is, well, you could say is eliminated, Prabhupada says, but at least it starts to become eliminated. Yeah. Prabhupada would say things like, symptoms of that happening, that one is no longer so interested in just eating and sleeping. Simple things. Eating, sleeping. That's pretty visible. If you observe a devotee in terms of their eating and sleeping, well, then you can see sort of where they're at in terms of eating and sleeping. But other things also, other things. There's very interesting description in Chaitanya Charitamrita, 13th chapter, cleansing of the Gundicha temple, which compares that big program that Lord Chaitanya carried out with his devotees, with all his devotees, of cleansing the Gundicha temple just immediately prior to the Jagannath Rath Yatra festival. Because Lord Jagannath comes and stays there for a week or so. So Lord Chaitanya took all the devotees and they cleaned. And they really cleaned. You know, first of all, they started with the ceiling. That's serious cleaning, isn't it? When you really start, let's get the ceiling clean. Then the walls, then the floor. And Lord Chaitanya made a competition of it to stimulate the devotees. And, you know, he's recognizing that important and interesting principle that many people are stimulated positively, you know, not absolutely, totally, but at least to some degree, if there's an element of competition there. Yeah. At least an element without becoming some sort of competitive fanatic who has to be number one. So he made a competition of it. Everyone had to gather up all the dirt they collected, take it outside, sit down, put the pile of dirt they collected in front of them. And Lord Chaitanya came along and judged. And even, yeah, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya, though, had collected more dirt than all the other devotees put together. And that temple was spotless, completely just glistening, including the ceilings. Then Lord Chaitanya did a very amazing thing. He said, all right, very good. Now we will go back in and clean again. And the devotees thought, what? Clean again? There's no need to, no point in cleaning again. It is just completely clean. But anyway, Lord Chaitanya insisted. They went in. They cleaned again, same thing, competition. And again, coming back out, sitting down with your pile of dirt. And again, Lord Chaitanya collected more than everybody put together. But they collected more dirt the second time than the first time. Even though they thought at the end of the first time, this place, there's not a scrap of anything like dirt. So, there's one purport there. Extensive purport. Srila Prabhupada refers to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's explanation of this whole situation. And he makes the point that the cleaning of the temple, the cleanings, represents the cleaning of the heart. And basically, in simple terms, I mean, it's worth reading, it's very worth reading. Basically, the cleaning, the first cleaning, represents something like, you know, approximately, the cleaning of the heart, which is required to come to the point where you can follow the regulative principles and it's not too much of a struggle and chant your rounds, and then you can get first initiation. But then some devotees think, you know, you observe it, it's one of these observable things that happens with some devotees. They get first initiation and then they sort of stop making the effort they have been making, and they go into sort of like cruise mode. Life is good. We are just, you know, carrying on in Krishna consciousness. And they lose any sense of urgency or, you know, like really trying to make an effort. Because as far as they're concerned, within their minds, they had this goal, get initiation. And then they got it, and they achieved their goal. and they don't really see any goals further. So, but then Srila Prabhupada, referring to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he describes how the second cleaning, in terms of the cleansing of the heart, the second cleaning represents cleaning out more subtle dirt contamination within the heart, like, like the tendency to criticize others, the tendency towards hypocrisy, these types of things, the tendency to not really be careful to maintain the standards, to become sort of lax in maintaining like regulative principles, you know, like going into the shop and finding something which, I mean, like something edible, and not really checking the list of ingredients carefully, but actually, you know, like sometimes pickles or various things, they have onions and garlic, and it says, but the devotee doesn't care so much. The desire for name and fame, yeah, some sort of position, recognition, for being special, yeah. And there's others, there's like six or so of these tendencies, which are much more subtle than just, you know, intoxication, eating meat, and things like that. They're just gross, but these are much more subtle. So he says there that the second cleaning represents the process of cleaning out those things, not just the very gross ones, and that, of course, the point was they got more dirt the second time than the first time. So in other words, that cleaning, I mean, of the heart, is even more, it's more, those contaminations are, even in a sense at least, more dangerous. At least in the sense that they can remain when the very gross ones are not really remaining. They can still remain. Yeah. So, yes, the cleansing of the heart. And of course, the point, another point at least, there is that Lord Chaitanya got more dirt than everyone else put together. In other words, the main thing for purification, the main thing is the mercy of the Lord, beyond any other considerations. Not that considerations like making an effort yourself are not important, they're important. But the main thing is the mercy of the Lord. And without that, no matter how staunch a renunciate you are, or, you know, enthusiastic you are to do devotional activities, but without, if somehow or other, the mercy of the Lord is not there, then all your efforts in those respects, it's not going to really work. Certainly won't work completely, as stated here, that the polluted aim of life is just removed, completely removed, and then it's gone, and it's just non-existent any longer. And rather your experience of life in Krishna consciousness based on hearing, it's just an ocean of nectar. It's simply nectar from beginning to end. Yeah. So these points are here based on hearing. It's all based on hearing. Yes. The basis is always hearing. And the problem, of course, is the polluted aim of life, known as material enjoyment, that we, at least generally we understand, we were there with Krishna and, you know, engaged in the association, things were going on, but somehow or other, inconceivable though it may be, you know, sometimes quite, you know, it's not infrequent that devotees ask, how could it happen? We were there, and it's pure, and it's just everything totally pure. And how did we develop the desire to come here? How could it happen? It's sort of like a machine, you know. If it's impossible to turn the machine on, how come the machine is running? It is somehow not possible to start the machine. But it doesn't work like that. It's not just a mechanical process that there you are in Goloka and just mechanically. You can't think of anything else. It's just like you just can't. Impossible. No. It's inconceivable, of course. At least the element of inconceivability is definitely there. But the sort of the proof of the malva pudding, which was offered to Krishna, is that we're here. Here we are in Cape Town and not there. There he is. That's him. Anyway, he's one of them. Enthusiastic. It's all a manifestation of his enthusiasm. He can't do it himself, so he gets a machine to do it. But he activates the machine. Yes, so that polluted aim of life, the aim of life, that's the foundation, the polluted aim of life being material enjoyment means I want to enjoy separately from Krishna. That is the root of the problem. And Krishna consciousness means, of course you know in the sixth canto, at the beginning of the story, just before the beginning of the story of Ajamil, that in the last chapter of the fifth canto, Shukadev Goswami gave a graphic description of the 28 types of hellish planets and what goes on and what types of people go to which. And it is extreme. It's just really extreme. And Maharaj Parikshit, as a sensitive, intelligent devotee, hearing this, he feels that, you know, we have to do something to stop, to help. We have to try. So what to do? And Shukadev Goswami, to test him, suggests, well, why don't we do prayaschitta, or recommend, teach? Prayaschitta, meaning you've done something bad, do something just to offset it. You know, you've gone down to minus 10 through doing some nonsense, so do something to bring you up to zero again, and then, you know, there you are, you're sort of in a position of equilibrium or something. But Maharaj Parikshit calls his bluff. Now, that's pretty bold in front of the spiritual master to say, no, no, no. That's not right. But actually something else should be done. Yeah, so he makes the point, Maharaj Parikshit makes the point, that it's all very well to bring things to a zero point. And he gives the example of a forest. It may be burnt to the ground sometimes in an extreme fire. It's just everything. You can't see a thing above the ground. But then you come back later and it's all grown up again. How did that happen? It's because beneath the surface, the roots are still there. Yeah. Actually, we had that experience at the Radharadnath temple, right in front of our eyes, across the road, if you know that area, housing area, a fairly nice housing area. It was a bit of a jungle. And they burnt it. And it was just, you know, charred earth. And within a year, the jungle was back. Yeah. We watched it every day while chanting japa. So Maharaj Parikshit makes that point that actually we need to do something like that. It's simply superficial. And we actually need to pull out the roots. So in Krishna consciousness or in material life, even if one becomes an extreme renunciate, performing severe austerities and cutting oneself off from material existence, living in some totally secluded place. But the root of your material desires is still there. And the root is, I want to enjoy independently of Krishna. I don't care about Krishna. I want to enjoy like him as much as possible. Yeah. So Krishna consciousness means not just like follow the regulative principles. No, we don't eat meat. We don't do this and that. It doesn't even mean that now we don't criticize or be diplomatic or hypocritical. Although, of course, it includes that. But ultimately it means we have to uproot the desire to enjoy independently from Krishna and replace it, you could say, with the desire to serve Krishna selflessly. Really try and cultivate that. Cultivate it and give that natural desire space to come out from the heart. Because as we mentioned yesterday, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadya Kabunoi, that eternal perfection of love for Krishna is already there. It doesn't have to be acquired from an external source. But Shravan Adi, if we engage in the process of devotional service beginning with hearing, then that eternal love or the natural tendency to serve will just rise and show itself and then become the main thing in one's life. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Any comment or question? Prabhu.
Maharaj, you were talking about how the bodies get stuck.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a big problem in my devotees, actually.
Very big problem.
So can you say some things about, identifying if we're stuck, and then having identified if we are stuck, what to do about it?
Yeah, well, hopefully we're Krishna conscious enough that even though we may be stuck, we can recognize we're stuck. And being stuck, sort of the most common type of symptom and observable internally is if one, if you have sort of turned to cultivating some material desires, revisiting the old, you know, whatever were your favorites from prior to Krishna consciousness, you know, it's often like the opposite sex. It may be some of the ideas, some of the music, these types of things that were there. Hopefully one would see that, look, you know, here I am listening to this music from before. I'm actually, you know, like regularly contemplating, meditating on doing some of the things that I did before. Hopefully one would be able to recognize and sort of put one's foot down with oneself. But sometimes devotees sort of go through that stage and they can't catch themselves. But then devotees who are a little more perceptive will be able to see this devotee's losing enthusiasm, showing some negative qualities like becoming a little aggressive or offensive or something like that sometimes, reacting in certain ways to certain situations which normally they wouldn't, or just normally devotees wouldn't react like that. So a more perceptive devotee could see that something is going wrong here and then try to help them. But oneself, if one notices oneself that this is happening to oneself, then of course one has to put one's foot down with oneself and really sort of adopt a more intensive program, particularly of hearing and chanting. That's what one needs to do, because that's really the key to getting out of the polluted aim of life. And, you know, it might involve making a point of getting a certain type of association, better association. Yeah. It might involve a change of service as possible. That's possible, yeah. It even sometimes might involve a change of location, possibly. Of course, you know, that's a bit of a major step. But the other things, of course, you know, they need to be discussed. But oftentimes they help. A change is as good as a, what is it, something?
Huh? Change is good as a rest.
Okay. Something like that, yeah. So sometimes devotees get into a rut. And they're not trying to be devious, but they're just doing something which isn't to them very interesting, or, you know, it's just too easy. They don't have to really make some effort to be involved. They get into sort of automatic pilot. And that's not very good, because we've got to engage the senses, the mind, the intelligence. These things need to be engaged appropriately as much as possible. Even though all service is service and it's equal and it's just absolute. But we may not be so absolute. Yeah. So something like that, I'd say. Yes, Nitai.
Arjun, talking about the sattva matter, and in particular the like desire and need for adoration. So I was wondering, is there a distinction between that and sort of wanting to do something to impress the spiritual master, or to kind of be noticed, like that kind of thing?
Well, of course there's a difference. I mean, as long as you want to be noticed by the spiritual master or Krishna or the authorities, in a sense of maybe like getting more opportunity or better opportunity to serve and to practice. You know, these things are a bit subtle, that's why they're called more subtle than others. But if it's really just a matter that I want, when my name is read out, you know, like book distribution, and number one was Krishna Das with X number of books, and everyone goes, oh, Hari Bol, and I want that taste. It's not so good. It may not be too bad, but, you know, it's definitely very marginal at best. Yeah. But, you know, better than wanting to be noticed is wanting to please. Yeah. And then if one makes the spiritual master or whoever aware that actually we did this, and the person or persons respond, oh, very nice, and they're really satisfied and pleased with you. That's nice. So that's a higher level, just wanting to please and not actually wanting to be noticed, but wanting to give pleasure. And you know, it normally happens just naturally if one serves like that, that and one is noticed, then you know, the satisfaction of the person being served will be expressed, and so one will, you know, that will be there, that sort of reaction. So yeah, we should be trying to please rather than just simply trying to be noticed. But trying to be noticed in a nice way is better. You know, it's not bad, it's good basically. But it's definitely better than just wanting to become prominent and glorified as being a special person. You know, that tends to have its roots in a type of material consciousness. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Hare Bol.